Mark chapter 10. And I just want to leave you a little thought here this evening. I'll not be long. I promise not going to preach long tonight. It's going to be real short, but to the point. And you'll listen here, I hope, to this story. Amazing thought here the Lord did. Makes me wish the Lord would do to me like He did this guy. I guess I was in His shape, He maybe would. I don't know. But look at verse 46. Mark chapter 10 and verse 46. Let's look at this scripture tonight just for a few minutes. And I'll bring a few thoughts on it by the help of the Lord. And they came to Jericho. And as He went out of Jericho with His disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace. But he cried the more a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, "Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee." And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" The blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way. Now I want you to look back at verse 51, where Jesus looked at this guy and he said an amazing thing. Look at verse 51. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" That's the title of the sermon tonight. The Lord walked up to this guy. He said, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" I'm telling you what, buddy, that was his lucky day, wasn't it? I mean, imagine tonight, here's what I want you to think about. Imagine tonight if Jesus, in the flesh, walked in that door. And he walked right up to you and said, "What can I do for you?" What, I mean, think about that. If the Lord came right up to you and said, "You name it, what wilt thou that I should do in you?" I'm telling you, boy, wouldn't that be great if the Lord came to my house tonight and Crystal was downstairs and she was down there fixing something or watching TV or something, and Ashton was there and the Lord came knocking on the door. Somebody came knocking on the door this evening, but it was not the Lord, it was Weston. It was the other person. No, I'm just kidding. The Lord came knocking on the door. And the Lord Himself said, "Danny?" And I said, "Yes, Lord." And the Lord said, "What do you want me to do for you?" Good night. Think about that. Think about that. What if the Lord said that to you tonight? I know what you'd say. "Oh, boy, I'd say, give me $10 million, Lord." That'd be what most people would say. That is the wrong answer. That is exactly not to get what you need from God. That's a way not to do it. It's an important question that Jesus asked this man. The Bible said to us, let our requests be made known to God. So in a way, God's telling us, what would you like? What would you want me to do for you? In 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 5, the Bible said in Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon. And you know when the Lord appeared to Solomon, you know what He said? He said, "Ask what I shall give thee." That's amazing, folks. I like that. The Lord come to Solomon and said, "Ask, Solomon, what do you want?" The Lord says to us, "Ask what we want." And He said, "I'll give it to you." In Psalm 2 and verse 8, He said, "I'll give the heathen for your inheritance and to help you." It may be that the Lord might be saying to you tonight, give me your request. What would you like God to do for you? Now, if I seriously ask you that tonight, what would you like God to do for you? I'm going to just make some suggestions tonight. Buddy, when I hear that question, immediately I think, oh, Lord, this and this and this and this, and neither one of them is money. I mean, we could all use some of that. But there's more important things that consume our desire if your heart's in the right place. So let me just say a couple things about it. First of all, would it be this? To save your friends and loved ones. You don't have to pray, God, if it's your will, save my family. You don't ever have to worry about being in God's will when you say, Lord, deal with my brother. Now, you can't, God is not going to make somebody get saved. I've heard people say, bless God, if you pray for somebody hard enough, they'll get... Now listen, the Lord is not going to overpower somebody and save them against their will. But God will convict them, and He will draw them. He will make them wish they had got saved. He'll do that. But God will not overstep a person's free will. That's how a lot of people say, well, I've been praying for so-and-so for ages, and it don't do no good. Your prayers are doing good, but you just don't... God will not overstep a person's free will to... He'll let them go to hell before He'll step over their free will. He sure will. He won't overstep mine and your free will. Not till you die. Then you ain't got no will. After that, you're sovereign right now. You are helpless after you die. And so, we want God to save our friends and loved ones. I've heard of D.L. Moody told some women in England years ago, and he told about these women that decided to pray for their husbands. And these women got together and they prayed. And they got together and they said, you pray and we'll pray. And they met every day at lunchtime and gave up their lunch about for years and prayed for their husbands. And it wasn't long till one night one of them came in, and her husband came in and had a funny look on his face and went right in the bedroom. She peeked in the bedroom and there was her husband on his knees getting saved by the grace of God. You hear stuff like that happening all the time. God will deal. Listen, God wants to save your family. God wants your family be saved. It is not God's will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It's blasphemy tonight for a preacher to insinuate that it's not God's will for everybody to be saved. It is God's will. Listen, brother, it ain't God's will for one little boy or girl to go to hell. We think about them people over in Iraq, and sometimes we think of them as not as human as we are, but they are. They have a soul just like we have. All those people in Burma, or what was formerly known as Burma, where they had that hurricane or whatever it was this week, they said the death toll could reach 100,000. How sad that is. You know, 3,000 gets killed here in the trade centers, and boy, we go crazy for weeks. 100,000 in Burma, wiped off the face of the earth. But the average person says, the masses like that, it don't matter. Them people do matter. Jesus died for those people. They matter just as much as me and you. It don't matter what color their skin is, how old they are, they matter to God just the same as me and you do. Isn't that right? Yes, sir. It is God's will for you to be saved. It is God's will for your children to be saved. It is God's will for your husband to be saved. It is God's will for your wife to be saved. It is God's will for your family to serve God and do right. You know, if the Lord says, what do you want me to do for you? I would say, Lord, let all my family be saved. I pray for my family every single morning. Every single morning, 365 days a year. And I have done as long as I can remember. And every morning I start out thanking the Lord, and I talk to Him for a second, and then I start out with Mom. And I start with Mom, my sister, and my kids. Sometimes I put the kids first, and sometimes I put my sister and her husband first, and I pray for my nephews and all, and I pray for them every single day. I'm praying to God. I'm not doing that as a ritual. I'm not doing that like a Catholic twiddling beads. I'm doing that because I believe that God in heaven hears our prayers, and they're bottled up there. And brother, them things going to have an effect sometime sooner or later down the road somewhere. Your prayers are not in vain. The Lord said, ask me and I will hear you. Ladies and gentlemen, let me encourage you. You keep on praying for your family that's not saved. How many of you here tonight have somebody in your immediate family or in-laws who is, as far as you know, is not a Christian? Raise your hand. Well, that's just about every hand in here. I'm telling you tonight, don't give up. Don't give up. No matter how hard it seems. You say, the more I pray for them, the meaner they get. Don't give up. Don't give up. The Lord said,
What do you want me to do for you? Say, Lord, save my family. Because after all, that's all that's going to matter one of these days. But let me say secondly this evening, what about just bless your church? That's what I'd say. Lord, bless our church. Let the hand of God be on our church. Pour out your blessings on our church. I'm telling you tonight, have you prayed for your church? If people spent as much time praying for their church as they do criticizing their church, maybe God would bless a lot of churches. No church is perfect. There is no such thing as a perfect church. I'm telling you tonight, brother, we ought to pray, God bless our church. Amen. We ought to pray, God bless our church. I was talking to somebody just the other day. They said, Brother Danny, what are we going to do about gas prices? I don't know if there's anything we are going to do about it. I doubt it seriously. I don't think we're going to do nothing about it. I pray about it. I have prayed about it. I don't know what to do. I don't know George Bush personally. I can't call him up and talk to him. Wouldn't do no good if I could. I don't know. It's $4.05 in Kentucky where I was at the other night, and working itself this way. And you say, Lord, have mercy. I even heard somebody, don't you let the devil tell you this, I even heard somebody said, boy, you know, when we get moved in that new church, gas is high. I just don't know if I can drive that part. Now, let me break it down for you a little bit. Let me break it down. The most it would be 5 miles further for any of us in here. 5 miles. Now, for me in my situation, you'd come down Interstate 40 down through there, and I've got a good roll going, you know. I'm on a roll. By the time I stop, go through the red light, stop, go through the red light, I could just about go 5 miles further on the same amount of gas, just about. And if I didn't, if you are driving 5 miles further, let's say you get 15 miles to a gallon. Most people in here get 15 miles to a gallon. Some of you get 30. Some of you get 25. I got 29 on my trip to Kentucky this week in my car. But some of you at least, most of you get at least 15 miles to a gallon. Now, if it's 5 miles further, and you get 15 miles a gallon, that's 1/3 of a gallon. That would mean you'd use about $1.20. If you get 15 miles a gallon, you'll use $1.20 more gas. $1.20. And I don't think there are 2 trips on Sunday. That's $2. Listen, and instead of eating at Fats, just eat at Kentucky Fried Chicken, and you can save $5 and make money in that. Amen? That's right, brother. I mean, you can don't the devil will tell you, oh Lord, it's 5 miles further. You're going to have to quit going on Sunday night. That ain't the Lord telling you that. It's $2 more, folks. $2 more. And if you get 30 miles a gallon, it's about $1 a Sunday more. $1. The truth is, I ain't listening to the devil. If it goes $10 a gallon, I'm going. And if I can't afford it, I'm going to call you to come and get me. And we'll put our money together. Listen, you just cannot let little things stop you. Like what I was talking about a minute ago. You can't let things stop you. The devil's always trying to stop us. That's why some's already out. They let the devil stop them. We've got to make up our mind. This is what God wants. This is our church. We're not going to let the devil stop us. Amen. We might start carpooling. If you say, Lord, I can't afford that extra 4 miles, we'll meet at Jamestown exit and carpool the rest of the way. I mean, the devil's going to try his best to stop you. I'm telling you what, I want God to bless our church. And let me say this while I'm on the subject. Please, listen, I've worked hard on that place over there. And I'm telling you, I prayed, you know, for 5 years I prayed here. And I said, dear God, we looked at land everywhere. I've done the very best I can. I don't claim I made every decision right. I didn't. But I tried. And I'm telling you something, brother. I prayed, and that guy was had some rich Jew over in Asheville owned that property. And I got down to business and I prayed over the holidays at Christmas about 4 years ago. And I called, the Lord put a figure on my heart. Done the same thing in Marion when I bought that property where a new man was built. Same exact thing. I prayed and God put a figure on my heart. And I wrote that fellow a letter. I didn't even know him. And I said, I'm pastor of church. We'll give you this much money. And it was like $60,000, $70,000 less than his bottom price. Or asking price. And I said, I'm just going to pray, Lord, if it's your will for us to have that place, let it work out. I had no idea. They wrote me back a letter and said, he has accepted your offer. I thought, well, there's the door open. Let's go. I've worked. I've put time, labor, money out of my pockets at the end of that place and going to put more, not to my tithes. That's God's money. I'm about my money. And brother, I tried to put work in it, and we're fixing to work tomorrow, buddy, and we're fixing to work Thursday and Tuesday and Friday during the day. They'll be working every day this week. So, therefore, please, if you say it, don't let me hear you. Please don't let nobody get over there and let's have two or three and say, I sure do miss the old church. Yeah. Don't do that. Please don't do that. Please don't do that. I'm telling you, please don't do that. I'm a little bit sentimental once in a while. Honest to goodness, we've had some good times here. We've seen hundreds of people saved. God's been good. We have some sweet memories, but bless the Lord, it's time to move on.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm not going to sit over and cry missing the old building. Brother, I'm going to like having a real ceiling and a real office that I can actually walk in. And it's going to be a blessing, brother, to say this is ours. And we're paying payments on it. And you know, are you ladies crazy? Would you rather have one restroom back there that looked worse than a convenience store on the side of the interstate? Or would you rather have a big, nice one, clean, brand new with four? Listen, brother, it ain't the old building that we're going to miss. I mean, I miss the blessings and all that. I ain't talking about that. But listen, the God that's here will be the same God that's over there. The blessings that are here will be the same. But as a matter of fact, brother, if we'll put our heart into our church will take off when we get in that new place over there. Somebody called me yesterday, had a mess on my answer machine way down in Newton. Said, Danny, we just want to know when you're going to get in your new church. Because see, when I'm on the radio, I'm announcing it close to Hickory. Here, it's in Morganton. On the radio, it's closer to Hickory. And it is, amen? Because see, I got thousands of people, like my buddy back there. Raise your hand back there, brother. Like that right there, and there's another. That nurse from Hickory, he done passed a new church up on your way up here tonight, didn't you, Brother James? And then back there is from, y'all live in Lincolnton, don't you? Vale and Lincolnton, same thing, ain't it? Where you live at, Brother James? You live in Hickory. But they live in Bale. And you know what? I don't know if you've heard me on the radio, but I've been on the radio every day. And I've been saying, boy, all you folks in the listening area, we're a lot closer to you now. And boy, they're going to come. I done got a phone call. Somebody said, we're going to come. You say, it's only like 15 minutes from Hickory. Amen? That's closer than it is to my house. And I'm telling you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we ought to pray God will bless our church. Amen. We're not going to miss the old one. Amen. I'm a little bit surprised. I thought y'all would be more excited. I know some of you are very excited. And some of you have been down there. I know some of you just turned around and said, oh, I can't wait. But I thought there'd be more of you coming up and saying, Brother Danny, what can I do? You just, anything, let's get it done. Let's just get in there. And I don't know if y'all just lazy or you don't really think it's going to happen or what, but we ought to pray, God bless our church. Number three, you might ask the Lord just to clean up your life. The Lord says, what do you want me to do to you? For you? Lord, clean up my life. That'd be a good request, wouldn't it? Instead of saying, oh, new house, new car, new job, say, Lord, get the sin out of my life. That'd be a blessing, wouldn't it? Listen, brother, we as Baptists, we don't teach that people are perfect. There is no perfect person. There is no sinless person. No such thing. I mean, you've sinned in spite of yourself. You've sinned, I'm telling you, brother, you've sinned without even trying to. I mean, but that does not mean Just because we believe that, that does not mean that we say, "Ah, well, since we ain't perfect, we can waller in it and just live like a devil, right? It don't really matter. Nobody's perfect anyway." But we ought to fight against sin. We ought to fight. Listen to me. You ought to fight to keep your thought life right with God. I know it's impossible to keep a completely clean mind in the world we're living in. I know that. I'm not stupid. Listen, brother, you can't stop a bird flying over your head. I mean, the devil's going to put stuff in there, especially you can't go nowhere. You can't turn the TV on. You can't go in a store. You can't go buy groceries without seeing and hearing wickedness all over the world. I'm not crazy, but I'm going to tell you something. We ought to fight it. We ought to fight it. We ought to say, "Lord, help me. Lord, keep." I found out God will bless you if you'll just keep fighting it. Where you mess up is when you say, "Hey, well, I'm tired of fighting it. I'm just going to give in to my wicked, sinful desires." That's when you start getting in trouble. Fight it. And if you fall down, ask God to forgive you and get back up. And if you got a secret sin, young man, older man, middle-aged man, if you're ladies, if you got a secret sin in your heart that the devil keeps putting in there, don't just say, "Oh, well, nobody's perfect." Say, "Dear God, help me get the victory over this." Amen. If you can live right for 4 days, that's better than none at all. And if you thought mess up, say, "God, help me, forgive me, wash me in the blood, and get up and go again." Amen. That's just good old plain practical preaching. You shouldn't pet sin. Shouldn't pet it. Let me tell you something about sin in your life. You judge it, or God will judge you. Just make up your mind whichever one you want. If you're a Christian, you'll judge the sin in your life, or God will step in and judge it for you. If you tolerate sin in your life, you leave the Lord no choice but to step in and judge you. If you'll fight it, He'll help you and have mercy on you. I found out if you'll just fight it, you may not always win, but if you'll fight. That's why Paul said, "Fight the good fight of faith." You boys like to fight so much. Fight sin, brother. There's your fight to get in. Amen. It's important. It's important. Let me say number four. Here's something you can ask God to fill you with the Spirit. It's not a suggestion, it's a command. Ephesians 5 and verse 18 said, "Be not drunk with wine, wherein in excess, but be filled with the Spirit." I ask God all the time to fill me with the Spirit. Every time before I preach, I say, "Lord, fill me with the Spirit." Now you understand, doctrinally speaking, you are baptized by the Spirit of God into the body of Christ, according to 1 Corinthians. Every Christian has the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There is no such thing as a Christian that does not have the Holy Spirit. I had somebody say, "Well, do you have the Holy Spirit?" Yeah, well, yeah, you do. If you're saved, you do. You got God the Father, you got God the Son. You got God the Son, you got God the Holy Ghost. You can't have one of them without having the other two. They're inseparable. They're three in one and one in three. Don't listen to people on TV say, "Well, you're saved now, then you get the Holy Ghost." No, you don't. The Holy Ghost baptizes you into the body of Christ, and you're baptized by His Spirit into, spiritually, the body of Christ. The second you get saved, there's only one baptism of the Holy Spirit. There are many fillings of the Holy Spirit. You ask God to continually fill you with the Spirit. I ask Him. You know why? Because it's important. I'm afraid if I don't ask God to fill me with the Spirit before I preach, that I'll say something that'll throw somebody off. And I have before, I'm sure. And I'm afraid that I won't say something that'll throw them on if I'm not filled with the Spirit. And I have many times. I did the other day. I lay in the motel and prayed, and I said, dear God, control my mind, control my thoughts." And I can't tell you how many times this has happened. I can't tell you, and I believe it's the Lord. You can believe whatever you want to. I do study. I do try to prepare myself. But I never stick exactly to my notes, because you can really mess up a good sermon like that.
Yes, sir.
A lot of preachers prepare their notes, and they prepare, and they work hard, and they work hard, and they, when God starts moving, they'll quench the Spirit to stay with them notes. You see them do that, ain't you, brother? And I'm not trying to be ugly or critical. You never get preaching figured out. It's something you never master. This is something you never completely get the handle on. But I found out that about halfway through the sermon sometimes, the Lord just comes in and says, and if I make myself go back to my notes and it'll somehow quench what God really wanted to do. I've quit in the middle of the sermon. A lot of preachers make the mistake and they say, oh no, this is so good, they've got to hear the rest of this. No, they don't, brother. No, they don't. When the Holy Ghost wants to do something, we need to learn just, Lord, just let's go this way, Lord. Don't be so doggone. The opposite of flexible. Amen. Rigid, yeah, stubborn. Be willing to let the Lord have His way. I learned that years ago with the New Man of Youth Choir. When the fire of God got on fire for God, I noticed during the service, you have a certain plan. That's why we still use song books. Where most churches are putting up a screen on the wall and you got to have it all done before the service starts. You know exactly what songs are going to be sang before service. I never know what songs we're going to sing. I leave it up to Him, the Lord, we're going to open up with. Then sometimes I'll say, you sing a special Sunday. But we don't ever have it planned out so rigid that the Spirit of God can't get in it and work. I don't think you'll do that. I think you ought to have a plan in mind if God don't show up. But you know what I'm talking about. Brother, I'm telling you something, brother. I'm telling you, sometimes I ought to just let the Lord have His way. Sometimes I ought to just obey God and say, God, fill us with the Spirit. And I've been up preaching a many a time, and something will come from somewhere that I never even thought of. And when I get through, somebody will come up and say, Brother Dan, that was genius. I said, thank you. I had no clue how I was planning on saying it. Didn't plan on saying it. But I know where it come from. I yielded myself to the Lord. And the Lord can give you some sense. He said, you'll have more sense than your teachers if you'll let Him lead you. That's why some of them old-timey preachers, they didn't have much of an education, but they had sense because they let God lead them. And so they'd get up and they'd preach on, and you'd say, Lord, have mercy. Who told him about me? You say, how'd they know that? They didn't know it, but somebody else did. It was like that preacher got up one time back when them women wore them great big hats, church. Great big hats. Like this. And the preacher got up. You couldn't even see the whole family walk underneath there when it rained. I like an umbrella. And she brought the ports with her, brother. And they come back up, and the preacher got up. He said, ladies, would you please remove your hats? I can't see some onions. He said, please. And one woman looked at him like, I ain't taking on my hat for you. He said, ladies, would you please remove your hats? It's hard for the people behind you to see. She looked at him like, I ain't doing it. He said, it's okay, folks. Thank you. I was preaching the other day, and some woman wouldn't take off her hat. And come find out she's bald-headed, so it was all right. She went, okay, get that thing off. I can't. The Lord gives some of them old preachers sense like that. I like some of my favorite ones where the guy, there's a chicken thief in the community. Somebody's stealing everybody's chickens. And boy, the preacher come up that morning. He said, he said, there's a chicken thief in here tonight. And he put a big rock up there on the pulpit. He said, in just a minute, when the Holy Ghost comes, I'm going to take that rock and I'm going to bust him in the head with it. Everybody said, whoa. Man means business. Boy, he started preaching there in a big way like this, a big way. And the power of God come. And he said, and now the Lord will tell us who the chicken thief is. He grabbed that rock, grabbed back, and one man back there went like that. That's how them old preachers had wisdom, brother. You didn't get that at seminary. You didn't get that out of a commentary. You get that by being filled with the Spirit. And like, it ought to be your prayer. God, fill me with the Spirit. Fill me with the Spirit. Number five, to ask God's will for your life. If the Lord come up to you tonight and said, what do you want? I'll tell you a good one. Lord, I want your will to be done in my life. All of us have this problem. We want what we want. And then sort of we want what God wants. But we know what God wants is best. But we still think it sure would be better if you'd let me do this or I could do that. Every one of us have that problem. Amen. And brother, I'm telling you tonight, the hardest thing you ever tried to do in your life is figure out what God's will is for your life. I don't know if some people ever even know they're in God's will. And some don't know if 35, 40, or maybe even 50. I believe that I am in overall God's will and plan for my life. You say, why do you believe that? It took years for me. When I first started preaching, I wanted to be an evangelist. And I wanted to preach to teenagers and young people all over the country. I didn't want to be a pastor. And then I started seeing a bunch here get saved, a bunch here get saved, a bunch here get saved. And my heart got... And I thought, boy, I'd like to be with them every week. If I want to be with them every week, what does that mean? I want to be a pastor. But I want to do this too. And you know what the Lord's let me do? He's let me do both. And it's God's will for me to do both. I'm a pastor, but I do the work of an evangelist. And I'm telling you, when I'm off somewhere, you can put me in a gymnasium full of 500 teenagers. I don't care if they go to church or they're heathen and ain't never been to church. And give me a microphone. And I'm just as comfortable. I feel just like I'm doing what I'm cut out. There's no way I can tell you how I feel. Now, I'm nervous and I'm scared, but I feel like I can do this. I feel like it. Because I know I can. I know that's what God gave me to do. And I can't tell you how rewarding. You ever heard somebody say, he's just happy as a dead pig in the sunshine? Why is a dead pig happy? Or whatever it is. What? Fat pig in a mud hole. In what, brother? Oh, a fat pig drying in the sun. I'm as happy as a fat pig drying in the sun. Happy as a June bug. Is a June bug happy? Ask God for you as a will to be at work. Prayer still works. Prayer still works. Be not unwise, the Bible said, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. You'll never get nowhere. I know people say, is it God's will for me to work here? Is it God's will for me to buy this house? Is it God's will for me to get this job? Is it God's will for me to go to this church? Listen, you'll drive yourself crazy. You just do what's right in front of you, and then when God wants you to do something else, yield your life to Him, and He'll lead you. Do what's right in front of you. I know people working a bus route saying, was it God's will for me to pastor a church? Was it God's will for me to pastor a church? Don't worry about that. Take care of them bus kids, and then when it's God's will, it'll open up and the Lord will show you. God's not trying to play hide and go seek. He's not playing games with you. The Lord will open the doors as you get there, and it's evidence. You don't even have to wonder about it. One of the hardest things you'll ever do is pray about God's will for your life, especially young people that are praying about getting married, getting college. Lord, I feel sorry for you. Good night. Lord, I feel sorry for you. How many people we have in here over the age of 16 that is not married? Would you stand, please? If you're over 16 and not married, would you stand, please? Lord, that's a bunch of them. That's a bunch of them. Over 16, not married. All right. All right. How many of you wish you... No, I ain't going to go there. I'm not... Now, you people that just stood up, you got major problems. You got major problems. Because you can mess around and get yourself into a marriage that you might never get out of. Amen? And you better beg God for His will to be done. And your hardest problem is... when somebody comes along that you really like, then you say, I want God's will to be done. And then you say, well, I don't know about them. They ain't really this. And you start making excuses for them. You start making excuses for that person. Well, they don't read their Bible, but they give a dollar last Sunday. You know, I've never seen them pray, but... he took his mama a rose for Mother's Day. And you start making... See, when you want something, it's real hard to pray God's will be done.
You're right, brother. You're right.
Amen. Now, all you married people here tonight, you ain't got nothing to pray about. You had your chance and blew it. No, I'm just kidding. listen. You don't have to pray, God, what is your will? It's your will. It's His will for y'all to stick together and work through your problems. It's not God's will for you to get a divorce. Amen? It's not God's. Sometimes it happens and ain't nothing we can do about it. But it's not God's will. It's not God's will. It's never God's will for a family to bust up. So if you are married, your prayer is, God, help me to... stick it out. Lord, help me to make the best I can. I mean, I mean, if you're getting beat or getting done wrong something, that's different. But I'm talking about if you just got wicked and want to get out, that's not God's will. Amen. You people that stood up here a minute ago, all the rest of you people ought to pray for them.
Yes, sir.
Lord, I hear it all the time. I mean, can I talk plain to you just for a minute? Y'all don't tell nobody. I'm not married. And everywhere I go, I get it. Everywhere I go, everywhere I travel, everywhere. I've always got somebody giving me advice. I have people tell me, Brother Danny, y'all's church could do so much better if you had a wife. I say, that's probably true. Brother Danny, why don't you do this? I say, you know, why don't you pray for me? Lord's will be done. They say, Brother Danny, well, I hear that. Oh, everywhere I go, I got some well-meaning soul, and they are well-meaning, trying to fix me up with somebody's sister who's beautiful. And I say, if she's that beautiful, somebody doesn't have her. I'm like the Da Vinci Code. I didn't believe in it before I seen it. And I'm just talking to y'all plain, so it might help some of you tonight. It's a mess. It's a mess. It is not good that man be alone. It's not. Our church would do better if I had somebody help. But I can't say, well, I mean, you know, I can't do that. You pray for me, okay? Pray God's will of me. You know what I sincerely want? God's will. And I mean that with all my heart. I want God's will. He sends me to help me. Hallelujah. If He don't, I've sort of got it made. I told one preacher the other day, he said, man, you need you a good wife. And I said, here's what I told him. I'm just going to be honest with y'all, man. I said, you know something, buddy? I said, sometimes it's hard. I mean, sometimes it's rough. But I said, you know what? I go to sleep when I want to. I get up when I want to. I spend my money where I want to spend it. Nobody argues with me where my money goes. Bless God, that's not bad, is it? If I want to wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning and turn the light on and read or turn the news on or whatever, I do it. If I want to throw my coat on the floor, I do it. Amen? And nobody says a word. I walk on if I want to. And so what I'm saying is, you make the best of your situation. And if God won't send you somebody, great. But don't mess up a good thing by jumping ahead of God and getting out of His will. I've seen a lot of people do that.
That's right. Good preaching.
I've seen a lot of people do that. Right. Preacher up there where I've been preaching, he'd been divorced and he got married. He said, oh, buddy. He said, Brother Danny, I tell you, he said, my wife, he said, she's the best thing that ever happened to me. He said, she works harder than anybody I know. I said, really? He said, she'll be over at the church cleaning it up before service starts tonight. I said, is that right? He said she had a good paying job before me and her got married. She quit and the company gave. She said she makes $3,500 a month and don't even work. And I said, come on, man. That's $800 a week, man. I can put up with a little mouth. I'm just messing with y'all. He said she's the hardest working person. And I said, where you find somebody like that at? It brings $800 a week and works all the time. Lord have mercy. But you know what? It's God's will. That's what's important. It's God's will. Most of you in here that stood up tonight, it's God's will for you to be married. And I want you to know I'm praying that God will send you who He wants you to have. And let me say this, and I'm closing. I said I wasn't going to be long. Let me say this. If God don't send them, believe me, you don't want them. Do like I did a minute ago. Make the best out of your situation. And then when the Lord wants to change it, hallelujah.
That's right. That's good preaching.
And for all you nosy ladies, I know y'all said, I wonder about that. Anyway. Tough. If you got a question, ask me. But I know how nosy y'all are. But let me tell you something. You just pray God's will be done. God's will. Can't go wrong like that. The Lord ain't going to make no mistake. He may not give you what you want, but if it's His will, it's best for you.
Yeah.
I got enough sense to know that.
That's good.
I got enough sense to know it might not be what I want or what I don't want, but if it's His will, it's best for me. Ain't that right?
Amen.
What wilt thou that I should do to you?
I believe every one of us tonight needs to get down to business and say, Lord, save my family. Fill me with the Spirit. Clean up my life. Bless my church. Have your way in my life, your will.